This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life. These days, and last week, I spoke with Jan Kohlman, and we talked about her experiences in Kainos in Germany, where she lives now and works, and she is a former porn actress and a former prostitute who turned to Jesus Christ. And you can listen to my first broadcast with her from July 25th, 2022. Her name at the time was Jan Villarubia, and she shared her story, and that included being gang raped by 25 men and getting close to being suicidal. So she is calling in from Germany. She works for Kainos, an organization that goes into brothels and strip clubs and educates and equips people on the horrors of sex trafficking. So, Jan, welcome back to the program.
Yeah, it's great to be here with you, Mike. Thank you.
And so to those of you listening, we talked with her last week. You can listen to that show up on our website, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. So, Jan, I want to begin this broadcast by playing a clip of a recording of an interview I did with Shelley Lubin back in 2005. This was July of 2005. She was just getting started out. So let's go ahead and roll that. Okay. Shelley, in the porn movies, we're led to believe that the actors and actresses are having a great time on screen, are they?
From my perspective and what I viewed, no, they're not. There's a lot of distress on the set, a lot of crying, a lot of yelling and throwing fits in rage, and some were even vomiting, a lot of drinking. Drugs weren't so prevalent in the professional. There's different categories of porn. There's amateur, pro-am, and professional, and the more professional, the drugs weren't as prevalent because they were worried about, you know, laws and stuff. But a lot of it was going on behind the scenes, and so no, there was actually a lot of stress.
Wow.
On the set.
Sounds like they hated every moment then.
I have to say, especially the women hated every moment of it. Because many times during the scenes, it would get so bad for them that they would have to pull a girl out and say, let's get another one in there.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Get so bad. I mean, there were. I once watched a documentary with Diane Sawyer on a girl who wanted to get out, but she was so entrenched in it. And, you know, she was crying through this whole interview and just talking about how horribly she was being treated. What are some of the abuses that occur in the pornography industry that we can talk about so that people know?
I would say some of the abuses are... obviously, there's physical abuse.
Okay.
And I don't want to go into details too much, but there's a lot, especially for women, there's a lot of physical abuse. And so a lot of times they're not able to handle that type of physical abuse.
Right.
And so they're pulled out, and another one who says, I'll do it. And she'll then take that place of that girl. And so a lot of times these men think they're viewing the same woman, but they're not. So there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of throwing of fits. And I can't tell how many people and how many women I've seen throwing fits between scenes, screaming and yelling at the top of their lungs because they didn't get their way or because jealousy's involved. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. But I would say especially the physical trauma that their bodies are put through is just incredible. Some of them have to go to the hospital afterwards.
So a lot of violence.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you saying some of them are being forced do what they're doing?
No, they choose to do it, but they sign a contract saying, I'm going to do this type of film, and I'm going to use these types of things in this film, and that requires their bodies being physically abused. And obviously, if something happens where this tears the skin, they have to pull them out and put another girl in there.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some things that happened to you personally?
Well, I'm one of those girls that's been physically traumatized.
So all those things, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, Jan, I bring this up because a lot of people talk about how wonderful porn is, and we see articles all the time where youth are going to pornography and learning about sex, and sex isn't talked about in church and even many homes. And then so the youth go to the place where they're filling the gap and they're going to porn, and churches don't touch this. And so what is the truth? Are these women having the time of their life?
Oh, absolutely not. there's nothing realistic or genuine about porn. And what a lot of these people don't understand is the dynamic that these women are dealing with in their own personal lives that brought them into the porn industry. So, yes, many of them, of course, I chose to go into it, but nobody is really aware of the nature of the beast, meaning what they're going to be exposed to physically, emotionally, mentally, and how hard it's going to be for them to leave once they're in. There's a lot of coercion that is going on behind the scenes. And so for me in particular, you would get to a pornographic set. They would, offer you drugs, alcohol to make you more malleable, to make you want to do what they're saying. They want you to be vulnerable because they prey on that. They take advantage of that. And then they would record you before the film holding up a waiver that they made you sign, and then also saying that you were not under the influence of any drugs or alcohol. And I can tell you that almost all of the men and women in pornography are under the influence of something. And that's because we are putting ourselves through constant trauma, like Shelley was saying, physical trauma, mental trauma, emotional trauma. And then women, especially on scene, are treated with such horrendous torture. we're beaten, we're slapped around, we're called disgusting and degrading names, and we have to take it, or else, guess what, in no pay, they will say, oh, I'm going to tell everybody else about you. They try to find your weaknesses. For me, it was my children. I'm going to call the state on you. I'm going to report that you're an abusive mother, that, you're not feeding your kids, you're not taking care of your children. So they learn what is going to make you do more for them, and they just capitalize on that.
Mm. Some porn actresses have talking about tearing of the vagina and the rectum.
Mm.
And I think that's what Shelley was alluding to when she said torn skin. And
yeah. Because of the violent nature of pornography and the hardcore scenes that they want, and because of the demand, kind of like what I talked about in our last interview, there's a demand. And so when that demand is not being met or becomes, not enough, then, they want more to happen. And so usually that will be presented in like these massive gangbangs like I was in, right? And they don't care what happens to that actress during that video. They don't. They can say that they do, but they are not looking out for the welfare of their performers. Mm. There's a very, very small percentage of women who are in the porn industry that actually really want to be there. There's such an overturn of actors and actresses in that industry because of the violent nature of porn and what you're exposing yourself to. I literally saw men, you know, injecting their penises with things to keep going, you know, because it's not just women that are affected, it's men too, but it's primarily the women that are being abused, that are being coerced and forced to do sex acts that they never agreed to.
Mm. What is your take on OnlyFans? That has become a huge thing these days.
Oh, God. Like, it's just, it's so heartbreaking to see these platforms that allow for explicit content and for people's videos and images to be uploaded, and it's not policed. It's not policed enough. Yes, there are some people who willingly want to put their naked photos or, you know, their pornographic videos up for sale. But again, there's a lot of people who, you know, have ended up on those kinds of sites because of a malicious boyfriend or, you know, they got drunk and got taken advantage of and it was being filmed, you know, those kinds of things. And they're also predatory, like pedophiles posting things of, you know, the women that they entrap into illicit sex acts with them. And so the problem with these platforms is that there's not enough policing, and it's really hard to police something that's so prevalent. And that's where the major problem comes. You know, the biggest issue is that being able to do that. And of course, there are agencies like Exodus Cry who have been able to help enforce laws to create higher protections for people to be able to, you know, be verified that this is actually their content, that they are of age and able to post this kind of content. And there's a lot of states now, thankfully, that are, you know, giving this good traction and signing up to make sure that they're shutting this kind of illegally operating, you know, imagery down. And so it's wonderful to see, but it's also still a really big problem.
Mm. Okay, let's go back to your story. I know that Shelley Lubin played a part in your rescue. What did that look like?
Mm. Yeah, Shelley was my mama bear. I called her mama bear. She called me baby bear. So basically, when I was at my end and I was ready to take my life because of the abuses and because of everything, all the trauma that I had faced in the porn industry, I got down on my knees and I started crying out to God to help me, or else that was it. I was going to end my life. And I went online and I started searching for porn help, and Shelley popped up. And I reached out to her, and she immediately reached out to me in love and prayer and support. She wanted to know about what had happened to me. She really became an immediate advocate and guardian angel to me. I can, you know, 100% say that I wouldn't be here today had it not been for her. And, you know, a couple months after I had gotten out of the porn industry with her help, she asked me to go back in, but obviously as a minister of what God had done in my life and how he turned my life around and the freedom. And I really felt that God was impressing it upon my heart to do that and to share the freedom that he had given me, and share my experiences to also bring freedom to other people.
Mm. So what are some of the specifics of the things she did to help you?
Well, she helped me with rent and you know, made sure that I had a stable place to live. She helped me tweak, like, my resume. She gave me insight into places that might be able to help me with my kids, so resources, local resources for me. And mind you, she was in California, and I was in Nevada. And so the awesome thing about Shelley was that she was adamant. She was an adamant fighter. She was one of the most strong-willed women that I have ever met in my life. And when she was determined to get something done, she got it done. So she was in contact with places for me on my behalf, a lot of people don't understand that this woman gave her life to this ministry. And when I say that, I can't express that enough. She was very personal in people's recovery and partnered with them on their journey to make sure that they got to a good enough place. And even beyond that, making sure that they were well taken care of, and not just them, but their families too.
Mm. And I'm bringing all this up because I want to make the point big time that the church needs to start making the porn industry a mission field.
Mm.
The porn industry has was launched into the church and corrupted it, and we're doing nothing. And there are very few ministries or people like with your experience and your heart, and we need, I mean, even if we don't go in, we can do simple things like prayer, but the things you're telling me that she did for you don't take a theological degree, do they?
No, they don't. And, I mean, there's just so many community resources that people aren't aware of because they're not well-known. And it really doesn't take that much research to find these resources for people. But I think one of the biggest things that churches can do is have these crucial conversations. What does pornography addiction and sex addiction look like? How can we help people that are suffering through this? How can we help people that have lived through these kinds of things, sexual abuse, sex trafficking? Open their doors up to having Bible studies about this topic, or purity groups, you know, a safe place, a safe haven where people can come and connect and know that they're not going to be judged, you know, and know that they're actually going to receive help more than these blanket statements of, oh, Jesus loves you. Well, what does that look like to somebody who's never known the love of a father, you know, and so really partnering with them alongside of their journey, you know, from point A to point Z to make sure that they are covered and taken care of.
Mm. I remember from Shelley's story, she talked about not having that father involvement, and I think she even mentioned wearing a Playboy outfit when she was a young girl, and I believe from your story there was that hole too. Talk about the desperate need for fathers to step in these days.
Yeah, fathers have the greatest influence and can make the most profound impact when it comes to a woman understanding what a man is supposed to be. I mean, as far as, you know, relationally, they have the greatest opportunity to be that perfect image of, you know, a male who has a relationship with God and who loves out of God's love. You know, it's so important for fathers to show a woman, you know, a young girl, like, this is how a man is supposed to take care of you. And if he's not doing these things, then he's not good for you. And to really check in with them on their self-esteem. You know, it's so important for a young girl to hear from her father that she is loved, she is valuable, she is beautiful, because then they come to expect that from other men in their lives, and they don't go seeking for it in the wrong places.
Mm. That's great. I love what you're saying, and part of what I'm thinking when I'm listening to you is that we don't really do a good job equipping men on how to be fathers. We tell them, go be parents, but what do we get when we go to church on Sunday? Be a really nice guy, memorize your verses. How does that equip anyone to be a father or a husband?
Right.
There's so much to that, but it's so critical, and I love what you were saying. So I'm curious, when you heard Shelley's voice a few moments ago, what was going through your mind?
Emotion. You know, Shelley passed away in 2019, and, you know, it just, when I think about her, it breaks my heart because, again, you know, she really dedicated her entire life from 2008 to 2016, and, you know, close to the time of her death, to helping people, and, you know, not just people in the porn industry and fighting, you know, political fights to increase protections for them. But on a personal level, like, Shelley really had an immense heart for women and children and people in general. And, you know, she's not here anymore to see what the Lord has done. If it were not for her, if it were not for the foundation that she laid through the Pink Cross Foundation, there's so many other agencies that have taken that mantle and run with it and are doing phenomenal things with it. But had it not been for her, that wouldn't be possible for them. And so, you know, my heart is always to give credit where credit is due. And I believe that more people need to step forward and say, because of Shelley Lubin, you know, this can happen today. And, you know, that's how I operate. You know, and I always give credit to her. Obviously, God doing the work in and through her, but she was the one who had the heart to say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. Send me."
Mm-hmm. And this is not the fun part, but in the last couple of years of her life, there was a, let's just say, dissent. Was there?
Yeah, you know, her marriage really started falling apart. There were a lot of things that came out about her husband. I won't go into detail about that. But, you know, she started sliding back into some drug use and alcohol use. But, you know, and she got into a relationship with a man who was very abusive. And I witnessed that and helped her get out of a situation in Vegas personally, and she just really lost a sense of self. She was torn up, you know, but it's not just because she one day decided that she was just going to resort back to all of those things. The life and the ministry that she had led really took a toll on her, and people don't really understand how much and how heavy this ministry is and what it can do to someone. And, you know, she lost her way, and there was nothing really that anybody could do to help her find her way back. And so, you know, after finding out that her eldest daughter had committed suicide, you know, Shelley, they say that she committed suicide. I don't fully believe that because I know how much of a fighter and how much she loved life. But she did have some health issues, and some things were going on there. So there's a lot of kind of question marks surrounding her death and how that happened and why. But, you know, I just know that she is in heaven now. And, you know, I believe that she's smiling down on me and the work that I'm continuing to do.
Mm-hmm. And I ask these questions to help people see that the intense spiritual battle with what we do and what you do and what any ministry does that opens this stuff up where people are in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is not saying, clapping his hands and saying, "Oh, wonderful." There, he plays for keeps. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And when it comes to a ministry like this, we all have to be very careful with where we go with rest, especially, and it's easy to just burn yourself out, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's times, obviously, I've been doing this for 16 years where I'm like, okay, God, I'm done, you know, but through my education as well as just my own personal healing, you know, I've learned how to take that rest and the importance of self-care. And stepping back if needed. And Shelley just, she didn't step back. She just kept pushing forward and pushing forward and pushing forward. And, you know, there was never enough that she could do for someone else. And it got the best of her at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. So, Jan, we got a minute left. Share with our listeners Kainos' website and how they can support you.
Yeah, so our website is www.kainos, so that's kainos-international.org. If people want to give directly, they can do that through the same kind of, the same website, www.kainos-ev.com /EN/donate, or they can give directly to me via my Venmo, which is the @path-to-purpose.
Thank you, Jan, and love what you're doing. I love that you're a fighter in the front lines, and keep doing what you're doing. I love it.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, my friends, and we'll talk to you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.